I received an order from Granger Hat. I look my best in that one. Granger's got the products I need and gets me them when I need them, no matter what hat I'm wearing that day. You know what? I love Granger. You know why? Because Granger's got my back. Call clickgranger.com or stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
There's a way to give her a box of chocolate on Valentine's Day.
And a way to give her a box of chocolate on Valentine's Day.
Turn it up this Valentine's Day with Levion Chocolate Diamond Jewelry from Jared. You'll find more exclusive Levion pieces at Jared than any other jewelry store in the world. And when you visit Jared.com from February 1st through the 14th, you'll receive $100 off any Levion purchase. That's our Valentine's gift to you.
And that's why he went to Jared.
Some exclusions apply. See Jared.com for details.
Congratulations to Ann and Solon, who was caller number 6 and wins the Hertin and Stocker gift card, the $50 Hertin and Stocker gift card. And we will have another one, another chance for you to win one tomorrow, as Todd Brommelkamp's show with Alex Kuhn will be on from 4 to 7 p.m. Todd, a little under the weather today, both literally and figuratively, because the white stuff is coming down, and it's coming down sideways here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids as a grimace comes onto the face of Kyle Mann. And I can't make a grimacing face. This really doesn't work on radio because nobody can see me. I can't make a grimacing face and talk to you at the same time. 319-366-1600. Now, I had said that Colin Ward Henninger was going to be joining us next, and I was an idiot.
Fake news.
Yes, that was incorrect, as it's been determined that I live under a rock, so you must forgive me. He's going to be joining us at 5:30. We just broke down the signing class of Iowa football that Kirk Ferentz announced yesterday in Iowa City. Now that it is post-signing day, and now that we are a month away from Iowa football returning to the practice field March the 20th for spring ball, I thought that we would break out the Wheel of Desperation.
Ooh. I didn't know we were using the wheel today.
Now, the wheel is going to be used to bring you Iowa football superlatives. And you, at home, 319-366-1600, can participate on the text line and answer all of these superlatives. Kyle and I are going to go back and forth, and I'm going to start with this one, Kyle. What is going to be the most important position battle heading into the spring and into the 2018 season for the Iowa football program?
There are a few areas of need, I would say, but I'm going to pick one on the offense and one on the defense. Offensively, I think it's got to be receiver, because this isn't new. This isn't for this season only. We're talking the last five, pretty much ever since McNutt and DJK left. Iowa needs receivers year in, year out. They don't seem to have any dangerous weapons on the perimeter. And, you know, I know they always want to be a run first team, but they need a threat out there. So some receiver, I think we'll get to a couple possibilities later on in the segment, but they've got to have a receiver emerge. And then on the other side of the ball, I would say you've got a pretty good corner to replace. And Iowa has relied heavily on having a pretty darn good corner for the last few years. So I would say somebody needs to distinguish themselves at corner as well.
5080 agrees with you on receiver. That's Brenton and Marion. Brenton and Marion agrees with you that wide receiver is an area of need. And since you cheated and took two positions, I'm going to do so as well.
You know, dude, two wrongs don't make a right.
Yes, they do.
Oh.
It's math. Linebacker. You lose three staples in that linebacking core in Josie Jewell, Ben Neiman, and Bo Bauer. You have to find a way to replace those guys. And I think we were saying a very similar thing last year about the cornerbacks. And Josh Jackson stepped up and was one of the best cornerbacks in the country. Now, that's probably not going to happen this time around. But in the linebacking core, on a unit that has been so relied upon these last 2 years. This team has won 16 games these last 2 years because of their defense. The offense has been well below average both years that they have found a way to win 8 games each year. Why is that? It's because of their defense, and it has a lot to do with one common denominator. No, or two common denominators. I'll say 1A, Josie Jewell right in the middle of that defense. 1B, Ben Niemann on the outside. And Bo Bauer did a good job his senior year. But you have to find guys to step in. And I think that the defense might take a little bit of a step back, but it has to be good enough to carry the load for an offense that I think is going to be, by and large, pretty inconsistent in 2018. Offensively, what about the running backs? Two running backs last year combined for 65 carries in Torrin Young and Ivory Kelly-Martin. And you have a couple of options as freshmen coming in, but I didn't ever get the sense that Kirk Ferentz was ever confident in either of those two last year. Akram Wadley and James Butler carried the load. Even James Butler, who I don't think was at 100% throughout most of the season, you didn't see Torrin Young or Ivory Kelly-Martin come in blocking situations and passing situations. They have a big-time learning curve because, like you said, this offense needs to be run-oriented because of the lack of depth at wide receiver, and they have to replace one of their most dynamic playmakers that they've ever had in Akram Wadley out of the backfield, and James Butler will not be back either. So let's see what the wheel lands on next. Strongest position group.
This isn't surprising at all. I'm actually going to go with the offensive line. And I start with the tackles. You look at Tristan Wirfs, you look at Alaric Jackson, both got a lot of playing time last year as freshmen. They're big bodied, they're athletic, they're strong. You know, those two guys alone give you a really good foundation on the edge. And then, I think we're expecting Keegan Render and Ross Reynolds to get some time there on the interior. They're at least veterans and experienced. And then also, you're going to call shenanigans on me for this, but you know who's included, kind of, in the offensive line? The tight ends. And I think if I wasn't saying offensive line, I think really...
So you're going to cheat again and put the tight ends with the offensive line? Fine.
Tight ends block.
Okay.
Tight ends block. And Iowa, if we're going to say one position on the entire team, tight end is probably their strongest position.
I think that the offensive line is going to be veteran. They have to replace a very good center. But they have to play better than they have these last couple of years. I don't understand why they've gotten a pass the way that they have. They've been far too inconsistent, and they've been unable to run the football, and sometimes unable to protect the passer. Look at what C.J. Beathard had to deal with a couple years ago. I think it's more of a collective issue. It's more complicated than just pinning it on the offensive line, but they have to get better. I think the position that really could take off is the defensive ends. There is so much talent at the defensive end position with Anthony Nelson and Sam Brinks and Parker Hesse and then A.J. Epinesa. Will A.J. Epinesa slide into that starting defensive end role as a sophomore? We saw flashes of him being a really talented pass rusher last year, and I think he's only going to get better from here on out. I love the fact that they can rush the passer and they have some athletes and some length on the outside that make it difficult against the tackles that you're gonna see in the Big Ten. And right now, I think that's probably their strongest position group heading into the spring. What is this team's Achilles heel?
Well, I guess we don't even have to think too hard about this. Looking back at last season, there were times when Iowa offensively was downright impotent. You look at that Wisconsin game, you think the Purdue game, they go through really just inexplicable games where they simply cannot move the ball. And then again, you look at that Ohio State game, they looked so good, and then you didn't see that really again for the rest of the year. Their Achilles heel, they've got to find some offensive balance, some consistency. They've got to become a little bit more dangerous. And, you know, again, we say this every year talking about this Iowa team. They've got to be able to go a little bit more vertical than they do. And if they can't, then, you know, you'll see games where you're getting, you know, 30 yards and a half, 70 yards in a game.
I think that the thing that frustrated so many fans last year were the special teams. Yes, of course, the offense wasn't always as explosive as you want it to be. And actually, I think more often than not, it was feast or famine for this offense last year. And a lot of times, it was famine, quite honestly. But if you're going to have an offense that's as up and down as this offense was last year, you better have special teams that'll win you games, or that'll help win you games. And the punting situation and the kicking situation and the punt returning situation last year was nowhere near acceptable as far as Big Ten standards. Colton Rastetter and Ryan Gersonde were kind of going back and forth. The punters could never figure it out. I don't think that Kirk Ferentz had a kicker and Miguel Racinos that he fully trusted to step into a game when his team needed a big-time kick, although it never really came to that. And the lack of anybody that could catch a punt was baffling to me. That's one of the more... Yes, it's not something that's easy. It's not something that everybody can do, but it's a pretty routine play in football at this level. And they really couldn't find anybody that could consistently go up and even make a fair catch, even catch the punt, which saves you sometimes 10, 15, 20 yards of field position, and those yards rack up over the course of a game. The fact that this team got by with 8 wins with this offense and the special teams that they had last year is a huge credit to the defense. So the special teams just has to improve. Most exciting player.
Just most exciting overall. I'm going to go with the guy who I think is going to step in for Iowa's former most exciting player. Akram Wadley used to tell us all season long, he would go repeatedly out of his way to tell us, Ivory Kelly Martin. Ivory Kelly Martin's going to be the next one. Ivory Kelly Martin is a dog. He always said he loves himself some Ivory Kelly Martin. And he didn't get a lot of burn last year, but you see, he's got decent size. He's got some speed. I think even a little quicker than I thought, laterally speaking. And if I had to guess, I think he's going to come into the season as your number one running back. He's going to get the ball in his hands a lot, and he's going to get fed plenty. I think Ivory Kelly Martin offensively is going to be the most exciting guy.
I'm going to go back to a name that I just brought up, and he's going to be a sophomore next year. He's from St. Louis. He's a defensive end. And I think this guy, an A.J. Epenesa, could be a 2- or 3-time All-Big Ten player when all is said and done. He got his feet wet. He had 4.5 sacks last year, 5.5 tackles for loss. He was in mostly passing situations, and his workload is only going to continue to get bigger because he came in ready-made as a defensive end in the Big Ten, and you just don't see that out of high school players. We were chatting with Tom Cakert of HawkeyeReport.com yesterday, and I asked him about John Wagner of Dowling, and I saw him 3 years in a row at the state championships, and he is a guy who looks the part of 6'5", 240 pounds, and looks like he might be ready, but still needs a year probably to season himself, get in the weight room, and get bigger. A.J. Epenesa never had that learning curve, that curve of trying to put on weight because he really doesn't need to do to put on all that much weight to be ready to be an every down guy in the Big Ten. And this is in a position group with Anthony Nelson, who I think is another very exciting player, and with Parker Hesse, an experienced player on the outside. And I just look for him to be a huge difference maker in his sophomore season. And Ann, who I think just won our $50 gift certificate to Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, chimes in on the Hertin and Stocker text line and asks a question. And this is one that is interesting. I thought about this today. She asks, what about Amir Smith-Marset?
Worthy of mention.
Well,
if they can get him the ball.
Well, somebody, I think it was Mike from Marengo, asked, did Iowa get any receivers that can actually catch the ball? And Amir Smith-Marset is, I think, the enigma of his freshman year was frustrating to fans because he clearly has more speed and elusiveness and big playability than any receiver on the roster. And you would routinely see him getting open deep. You'd see him make a big play, and he'd follow it up with a fumble. And he had a really, really bad case of the drops. And this is going to sound absolutely simplistic and ridiculous, but if he can learn to catch the football, then yes, I think that Iowa really has something. But there were people wondering, well, should he switch positions? He just can't catch the football. It's way too early to give up on a freshman. It's way too early to give up on a kid with that kind of ability, especially since that's a position that Iowa has a dearth of talent at. But this sophomore year is going to be very big for him because you just wonder how much patience do Kirk and Brian Ferentz have with him. I think freshman year would probably give him a pass. You probably say, okay, he's a young kid. He's learning his way. He's going to have some drops. You're going to see some ups. You're going to see some downs. You saw some ups. You saw a lot of downs. Sophomore year, I don't think they're going to be quite as lenient. And that is the Wheel of Desperation. .521. We're going to take you up until 7 o'clock. We're going to chat with Colin Ward-Henninger of CBS Sportsnet next, who will break down the NBA trade deadline, talk a little bit about the Cavs and more. Might even slip in a Bulls question here or there as they traded Nikola Mirotic a couple of days ago. And then Thomas Bendit of SB Nation will join the show at 6 o'clock to break down some Big Ten basketball. What we're going to do right now, we'll step aside, we'll take a quick break, we'll come back with a Midwest One Bank Big Board update, more of afternoon programming on KGYM after this.
Love is in the air, and at Siebke Hoyt, it's contagious. Because with any Valentine's purchase of $159 or more, you'll get a dozen roses. Now, how is that for romantic? And it all starts with our gorgeous Shy Collection jewelry, handmade in New York City by top designer Shy Diane. Then there's our Ed Levin Collection, another New York City designer that is distinctly alluring. And at Siebke Hoyt, we have so many other perfect jewelry gifts for Valentine's Day, such as diamond studs starting at just $99, silver and diamond necklaces from $55, diamond bracelets from $495, and of course, the big whopper of all Valentine's gifts, diamond engagement rings from Gabriel & Company in New York. And they start at just $995, and will always make your purchase easy with great financing options. Love is in the air at Siebke Hoyt, and we're making it easier and more romantic than ever with roses and beautiful jewelry. We're Siebke Hoyt Jewelers, the place Cedar Rapids gets engaged.
Have you been to the Fieldhouse lately? Yeah, the Fieldhouse, you know, the one and only Hawkeye Bar in Cedar Rapids, the sports bar where the food never takes second place, the famous happy hour that everybody loves. That's the one, the Fieldhouse. Bring your buddies for lunch this week. Stop in and grab a table or order online at fieldhouse1stav.com. Give your lunch hour a shot of black and gold pride at the Fieldhouse on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
There are still companies that care, companies that have your back, companies that provide stability for you and your family. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is one of those companies. You can start at $17.27 an hour with great benefits you'd expect from a company that treats you like family. Sometimes it's the small things, like holiday parties, summer picnics, and movie parties that speak volumes about your work family. Learn more about the PMX family at ipmx.com.
As a small business owner, you're juggling it all, including customers' calls from your personal phone. But with Grasshopper, you get a business phone number and a business phone system from our mobile app so you can work smarter, not harder. Grasshopper forwards calls, texts, even transcribes voicemails. Everything you need to simplify your business and stay responsive. With Grasshopper, there's no long-term contracts and customer support is 24/7. Whether you're starting or growing your business, Grasshopper is the answer. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio.
Napa Know How.
Right now, you can get a $20 prepaid Visa gift card by mail with the purchase of a Napa Legend Premium battery. Its superior durability, capacity, and power make it the obvious choice for people who hate getting stranded by a dead car battery. So pretty much everyone. The Napa Legend Premium battery and $20 back. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer ends 2/28/18.
So this house is in a great neighborhood and walking distance from one of the best schools.
And what are they asking?
The asking price is only 24 years of really, really hard work.
Wow, that sounds like a lot.
Well, the house across the road just sold for a few years more.
While other insurance companies just see a house, we see the home you've worked really hard for, so why not give it the protection it deserves?
Tell you what, why don't we offer 23 years with a fast close?
We're gonna need to sleep on it.
Yeah.
State Farm. Call an agent today.
This tax season, AutoZone has everything your car needs. And now those parts and supplies come with more savings when you sign up for the AutoZone Rewards Program. You'll earn $20 every time you spend $20 or more 5 times. One more way to get more done. This tax season, save on 5 quarts of Pennzoil High Mileage or Conventional and an STP oil filter for $24.99 or an STP Extended Life filter for $3 more. Stop in and let's get you what you need. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome back to Studio A on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, 526. We finished with our superlatives. We're done with the football talk. We're going to move on to NBA, which I'm sure is music to a lot of people's ears, as Colin Ward-Henninger of CBS Sports is going to join us in just a few minutes. We're going to hit an Olympic preview, but we can't do that before we give you another Midwest One Bank Big Board update brought to you by Kyle Mann.
Iowa junior outfielder Robert Nystrom was pegged again as the Big Ten's preseason player of the year, this time getting the nod from Baseball America. He was also named the second best prospect in the conference for next year's MLB draft. Pitcher Brady Shanua was ranked 7th, and Jack Dreyer was listed as the 5th best freshman. Iowa State couldn't pull off a second upset of 7th-ranked Texas Tech last night, falling on the road 76-58. Cameron Lard was 10 of 11 from the floor and had a game-high 22 points in just 20 minutes of action, but the Cyclones clearly felt the absence of starting point guard Nick Weiler-Babb, racking up 15 turnovers with only 8 assists. The UNI men had a pretty good win last night over Bradley in Cedar Falls, 74-65. A team that can struggle to score at times, they got a crucial contribution from Wyatt Lohaus with 25 points off the bench, coming mostly on his 6 of 9 shooting from beyond the arc. That moves the Panthers out of a last-place tie with Valparaiso. The Iowa women are supposed to be hosting Penn State tonight as they try to get back near the top of the Big Ten standings. You can try to get out there and see Wooden Award candidate Megan Gustafson as they tip off at 7 o'clock. You might have heard about the craziness on today's NBA trade deadline, but one deal you might not have noticed as much was a three-teamer that sent Doug McDermott to Dallas. He now gets to reunite with former Ames High School teammate Harrison Barnes. You're hearing us right now on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, or 107.5 FM, the North Gym, because we've got West Branch at Clear Creek Amana for a girl-boy doubleheader. That's on 106.3 FM, the South Gym.
News out of college football and college basketball. Two coaches, one from each sport being Bob Davie, the New Mexico head coach, is being suspended 30 days for inappropriate conduct, and there are reports out of Fort Collins, Colorado, that former Iowa State head basketball coach Larry Eustace will be fired by the school. Nothing has been confirmed yet, but he was placed on a leave of absence a couple of days ago after another investigation into his treatment of players, something that was, I think, filed in 2013, during the 2013-2014 season. and I believe the school put a zero, basically another misstep in your zero tolerance standard on him, and he apparently is being investigated, and reports are that he will be dismissed as the head basketball coach at Colorado State, which he was at Iowa State for different reasons, and maybe we'll get into that a little bit later. But we have to break down the NBA trade deadline with Colin Ward-Henninger of CBS Sports, and you can hear him after this bottom-of-the-hour Olympic preview, which is brought to you by CarePro Health Services. Connect with the people and answers you need for your healthcare needs. Visit careprohealthservices.com.
Looking to improve your family's wellness? CarePro is ready to help. They know it can be a bit baffling figuring out what vitamins you and your family need. So they'll help you find the right balance of those important nutrients. This time of year, in particular, it's important to pay attention to vitamin D because your body doesn't get enough sunlight to create it naturally. So supplementing is important. CarePro pharmacies in Cedar Rapids, Mount Vernon, North Liberty, and Tipton, helping you connect with people and answers you need.
Westwood One Sports presents the Road to South Korea, brought to you by Grainger. It takes the right tools and team to get the job done. Grainger tips their hat to the ones who get it done and make the winter games possible. In 2017, American figure skater Nathan Chin competed and won a test event in Pyeongchang, giving him confidence heading into the 2018 Winter Olympics.
It's definitely very valuable. It's great to see how the arena is built, how the people are, how everything is run. You know, they pretty much want to simulate it as much as possible to an actual Olympic event just to see where all the errors will possibly go. So just in general, like, the event went very well, and it was good for me to see the arena and skate on that ice and be able to compete against the guys that will basically be at the Olympics, you know. And also just to come out with a win on that competition was also really big for me, so I'm really happy with that competition.
Chin represents the American men's best hope for individual figure skating gold in South Korea. Westwood One's daily coverage of the 2018 Winter Olympics from Pyeongchang begins February 9th. I'm Brandon Gordon.
When you run a growing business, you wear a lot of hats. The I ordered it hat, the Mr. Fix-It hat, the it's taken care of because I handled it yesterday hat. My favorite hat? My I received an order from Grainger hat. I look my best in that one. Grainger's got the products I need and gets me them when I need them, no matter what hat I'm wearing that day. You know what? I love Grainger. You know why? Because Grainger's got my back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, I'd like to deposit this to checking.
Fate is a fickle master.
What?
The future is uncertain.
Okay, and what's my account balance?
Ah, the horizon is cloudy. I see a long, treacherous voyage filled with great peril.
Look, can I just get a deposit slip or something?
A fortune bank teller. Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
I see a yellow-eyed serpent.
What?
And a low APR.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
For Valentine's Day, I got my husband a 23andMe kit so he could discover more about himself through his DNA. He received over 75 detailed online reports about his health and ancestry, and he's fallen in love with himself in a whole new way. A genetic kind of way.
I am a Viking warrior.
Yeah? Guess who discovered that his DNA is 18% Scandinavian?
This Valentine's Day, get 20% off your home DNA kit when you order today at 23andMe.com. Offer ends February 14th.
Hey, get away from my car.
No, this is my car, a black SUV.
My car is a black SUV.
Hey, you two, get away from my car.
Car no-brainer? License plates. Barbasol's no-brainer? Finally making razors to go along with America's favorite shaving cream. Introducing Barbasol's Ultra 6 Plus Razor with 6 ultra-thin blades for a close, comfortable shave. Save now at Barbasol.com.
Barbasol!
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico. I feel like I'm on top of the world.
Disclaimer, you will not be transported to the top of the world. In the unlikely event you find yourself at the Arctic Circle, seek shelter from the elements immediately to avoid frostbite and or hypothermia. Geico will not be responsible if you find yourself in a cave or crevasse with a lonely abominable snowman, who in all likelihood will force you to play games including but not limited to Go Fish, Charades, Chinese Checkers, or his personal favorite, Red Rover, Red Rover, Send Yeti on Over. Geico is not liable for any damages, either physical or emotional.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Halfway done here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Alex Kuhn and Kyle Mann taking you up until 7 o'clock. Kyle stepping in for the Under the Weather Todd Brommel Camp as the snow continues to fall on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. If you are out on the roads, please be careful. I know that that's the sentiment I'm going to live by as I make my trek back home tonight, but please be careful as it looks like the roads are going to take a little bit of a beating tonight, and just go slow, take your time, and we want you back here tomorrow listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Today is a crazy day in the NBA. The trade deadline has come and gone, and to break it down, we're going to chat with Colin Ward-Henninger of CBS Sports. Colin, you're with CBS Sports, right? You haven't been traded. That's correct?
As far as I know, I think there's still some paperwork that needs to come in, but as far as I know, I'm still with CBS Sports.
Okay, good. I was just hoping that they didn't trade you for a highly protected second-round pick. But in all seriousness, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they trade away half their roster. They get Larry Nance, Jordan Clarkson, George Hill, Rodney Hood in return. And I think the simple question that everybody wants to know is, does this put the Cleveland Cavaliers back as the favorites to win the East?
Well, you know, I know that's a question that everybody wants answered, but the problem is, with so many new players, we're not going to know that answer for a while. They're certainly in a better position to repeat in the East, but as of now, we need to see how these players gel together. I mean, it's clear that Isaiah Thomas wasn't working in Cleveland, and part of that is because LeBron's not an easy guy to play with. I mean, none of these guys really are. And getting all these new players, even though, you know, Clarkson and Nance and Rodney Hood and George Hill, these guys are all proven NBA talents. Getting in the system with LeBron James is something different entirely. So we're going to have to give it a couple games. The Celtics got a lot of new players this year, and they were able to mesh pretty quickly, but it's not always the case in the NBA.
And I think a lot of people were discussing this today. It just seems like a very strange time in the middle of the season where you don't have a lot of practice time to completely rebuild a roster. So, like you said, there's a chance that these guys might be kind of learning on the fly in game time situations.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that they will. The Cavs don't practice a lot anyway, as it is. So, these guys are going to have to get to know each other really quickly. But the thing is, they had to make a deal. I mean, that game against the Rockets, that game against the Magic, this team was going nowhere, and everybody knew it. They had to make a splash at the deadline. I don't think anyone saw this coming, that they were going to make this big of a splash with this many new players. But they certainly had to do something. And I think, if nothing else, it's rejuvenated the Cavs, and it's going to be a lot more fun to watch their games from here on out.
You had heard whispers that maybe they go ahead and move on from Isaiah Thomas this year. It clearly didn't. It didn't only not work on the floor, but it seemed like things got really hostile and adversarial in that locker room. Why do you have any insight as to why things got so bad in that locker room?
Well, part of it is Isaiah Thomas is a tough guy. I mean, even I watched him in Sacramento out here, and he's a chip on his shoulder, underachiever his whole career, and he doesn't like losing. And when he goes to the Cavs and he's used to having one role with the Celtics, had a career year last year, he gets traded from his team and his fan base that absolutely loves him. He wasn't thrilled to be in Cleveland anyway. And then he gets there and he gets thrust in this losing situation. He's injured. His hip isn't right. He's not playing the way he knows he can play. I think it was just a perfect storm of kind of bad chemistry all around with the Cavs and Isaiah Thomas coming into a situation where he's used to being the leader and used to being a guy that can say these things. But with the Cavs and LeBron James, sometimes the things that he says are taken as a little bit adversarial, like you said.
Isaiah Thomas has said that he doesn't want to come off the bench in his new role with the Los Angeles Lakers, and it looks like I think Luke Walton was very noncommittal as to what his role is going to be. Does it look like he's going to have to be that sixth man off the bench?
Ideally, he probably would be. It's funny because when he was in Sacramento, I thought that was his ceiling as an NBA player was going to be a good, you know, heat check six man type. He obviously proved that he can be much more than that last year in Boston. But it's a different situation in LA. They aren't trying to win right now. They may not even be keeping Isaiah beyond this year. They got him to free up all that cap space. Lonzo Ball is clearly the point guard of the future there. Isaiah Thomas can play off the ball, but it presents a lot of problems, particularly defensively, where if Isaiah Thomas is going to ever have to guard a shooting guard, that's going to be a nightmare for the Lakers. They're better defensively this year. They're moving in the right direction. So picking up a guy like Thomas is going to hurt that for sure. I doubt that Thomas would come off the bench. I think he would make a pretty big stink about that. They might try. Luckily right now, Lonzo Ball's injured. Not luckily for the Lakers, but fortunately for this situation. So we'll probably see Isaiah Thomas starting at point guard in the near future, and they'll kind of cross that bridge when they come to it.
I don't necessarily want to spend the whole time talking about the Cavs, but I feel like I'm curious how you think these moves that they made today, you know, that got rid of his best friend, Dwayne Wade, how does this affect LeBron and his decision to either stay in Cleveland or potentially leave in this offseason?
Well, I think the moves were made with the intention of trying to get LeBron to stay. They got some young players, Clarkson and Nance, Rodney Hood. I mean, these are young guys, young, talented guys. And moving Wade was actually something that, from what I've seen on reports, they talked to LeBron about. They made sure he was okay with it. They made sure Wade was okay with it, obviously. I think they went to Wade and kind of presented him with a more limited role with the Cavs, or, you know, we can send you back to Miami. And obviously, we know what he chose there. But the funny thing about the trade is that by dealing Isaiah Thomas to the Lakers and taking on their salary, they actually freed up enough cap space for the Lakers to make a run at LeBron this summer. So they might actually backfire if the Cavs can't figure this thing out. And then LeBron's looking at this Lakers squad with a whole bunch of cap space that they could possibly get LeBron and Paul George. So we still don't know what LeBron's doing, but it's really going to depend on how the rest of the season goes for the Cavs.
And so do you think a Lakers team that, like you said, is not in win-now mode would be a spot that LeBron James would consider in the offseason? Would it have to be a package deal bringing in a guy like Paul George to go along with him?
Certainly. The thing about LeBron is that if he goes to a team, they're automatically in win now mode. He can take, you know, the Brooklyn Nets and turn them into a three seed in the East. He's not going to go there unless somebody else comes with him. And we all know he loves Paul George. He was very upset with the Cleveland front office that they weren't able to get him. So if things do go south in Cleveland this year, farther south than they already are, and he decides to leave, if he can broker something with Paul George to head over to the Lakers, I definitely wouldn't rule that out.
Were you surprised at all to not see him waive the no trade clause, or what were your thoughts on that?
I think publicly he would never say I'm waiving the no trade clause. I'm on the market. That doesn't really seem like something LeBron would do. Something I did think could happen was, you know, maybe a private discussion with the Cavs front office if they decided that this thing was not going in the right direction. There was no saving it. They could have tried to go to LeBron and say, hey, you know, the best thing for the organization is for us to trade you. That would give LeBron kind of an out without having to be the bad guy saying, yeah, you know, I'm doing this because they came to me and said this is the best thing for the team and all that. I guess they decided to go in a completely different direction and just surround him with a whole bunch of new guys. They still were able to hold on to that Brooklyn pick, which is kind of the savior. Even if LeBron does leave now, at least they have some young players. They have that pick. So, I mean, I think the Cavs did pretty well today overall. They had to do something, and they certainly made a big splash.
We see this every year after the deadline passes. We actually already saw one a little bit early with Greg Monroe getting bought out and ended up with the Celtics. Are there any candidates, you know, impact players who could be bought out and land with a contender?
Yeah, certainly. We're surprised that we didn't see Tyreek Evans move today. The Grizzlies have been sitting him out for the entire week, I think, week and a half, just anticipating a trade. Apparently, they got a lot of offers for second-round picks, and it just wasn't something that they wanted. So he's certainly a buyout candidate. The Grizzlies have said that they might be interested in keeping him. I'm not sure that that makes much sense for them, given where their franchise is. But Evans is certainly a candidate. Marco Bellinelli didn't get traded today. He's a proven shooter. Everybody needs three-point shooting. He might be in the market. And Joe Johnson, who got traded to the Kings today, they're definitely not keeping him. So there's a sure buyout right there. And there's obviously a lot of contenders who can use a veteran swingman with, you know, lots of playoff experience.
A lot of Bulls fans in this area, as Colin Ward-Henninger of CBS Sports joins us. And Colin, I think a lot of them are wondering where they are at in the rebuild. And there's a lot of questions as to whether the right management is in place in Chicago. But they traded Nikola Mirotic earlier this week. And where are they at in this rebuild? And do they really need a top five pick to kind of catapult this whole thing?
Well, I'd say the Bulls were probably in a pretty bad spot in most people's eyes after the Jimmy Butler trade. But what we've seen from their young players this year, it's not looking so bad. Chris Dunn has kind of emerged as the guy that people thought he was coming in the draft. Lauri Markkanen is way ahead of schedule in terms of how good he is. Bobby Portis is proving that he can be, you know, possibly a starting power forward. And they just traded for Noah Vonleh, who is another one of this kind of reclamation projects, has been disappointing so far in his career. Zach LaVine's getting healthy. So, I mean, they're young. You don't know what these guys will eventually turn into. But I'd say in terms of where they were after the Jimmy Butler trade to where they are right now, I think Bulls fans should be pretty happy.
Assuming they do get a top five pick, and like you mentioned, it's very much of a crapshoot with 18 and 19-year-old kids coming out of their first year of college, and it takes them a while to kind of latch on. But what we've seen from Lauri Markkanen, do you think Chris Dunn can be the point guard of the future? What do you think that they would need to address if they were to get that top five pick?
At this point, you're just taking the best player. You got to go for talent at this point. You collect assets. This is the blueprint now in the NBA, draft picks and young players, because you can always take them. Not always, but you're the hope is you can take them and package them into a superstar when you're ready to do that. So we've seen it with the Sixers and, you know, the process. They took it to the extreme. But in the top five, you know, a guy like DeAndre Ayton or Marvin Bagley or Luka Doncic, if they're available, you just take the best guy. You figure it out later.
Looking ahead to, you know, the second half of the season here, in the East, quite frankly, it kind of looks like it's the Celtics, relatively unchallenged. Maybe the Raptors make a run. But the West is much more interesting to me. Do you think that the Rockets can legitimately challenge Golden State?
It's hard to say. I mean, the Rockets are much improved this year. I've told people before the season that they're the perfectly built regular season team. They play such a style. They have two of the best playmakers in the NBA. James Harden is unreal in the regular season. I mean, a 60-point triple-double. Like, these things just don't happen. And the pieces they added, PJ Tucker and Lukumba Mute, these guys are defenders that can finally give the Rockets some one-on-one defense. It's something that they've really needed. Clint Capella has emerged as a true NBA center and plays great, has great chemistry with those guys. The Warriors have backslid a little bit. They're in a little bit of a slump, but that's bound to happen when you're constantly looking ahead towards the NBA Finals, which they have to be doing. I think a series between those two would be much closer than it would have been in years past. I still have to give the Warriors the edge just because, you know, they're the incumbent, but I could see a 6 or 7 game series there, because there's going to be a few games that the Rockets just hit, you know, 20, 25 threes, and there's really nothing you can do about it.
I look at a team like the Thunder as well. We've seen them look good. We've seen them look pretty bad, but we know they've got a lot of talent on that team. What can you realistically expect from the Thunder moving down the stretch?
I'd be worried about the Thunder. I'd put the Thunder right under the Rockets, and I was hoping that they would make a deal maybe for like an Avery Bradley or somebody to play that shooting guard role with Andre Robertson out. I think that really would have pushed them over the top. I got to watch their game against the Warriors. I went to it, and they just dominated from the start. I know, like I said, the Warriors are a little down right now, but a team with Russell Westbrook and Paul George on offense is a danger. I mean, those guys, either one of them can get a bucket at any time. And I happened to see a game where both of them got hot and there was nothing that the Warriors could do. Steven Adams is a beast in the middle, which could combat the Warriors' small ball lineups. They really don't have an answer for him. I really like the Thunder. I think that they were one piece away. We'll see what they can do on the buyout market, but I think the Thunder would be right up there with the Rockets for me for the challengers for the Warriors.
I want to circle back around for 1 second here, Colin. You mentioned Tyreke Evans as a candidate that could be bought out from the Memphis Grizzlies. He's having a career year. How surprised were you to see the trade deadline come and go and not hear Tyreke Evans in a new location?
I was very surprised. I think we all got caught off guard by the Cavs stuff, so I think people kind of forgot about it a little bit, that he was supposed to be on the move. The thing is, the trade market's a little different now than it used to be. Teams are not willing to just throw in a first-round pick to get a player like Evans, which is something that could have happened in the past. So I think they were desperately trying to get a first-round pick. They were shopping him around. And at the end of the day, they thought, all right, well, I'm not taking 2 second-round picks for a guy who can get you 20 points a night. They'll keep him. They'll figure it out. They might buy him out, but they could also end up just, you know, re-signing him in the offseason, and then you have a proven scorer.
Colin Ward-Henninger of CBS Sports, thanks so much for joining us this evening. I'm sure it was a crazy day.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I'm going to go to sleep.
Thank you, Colin, for joining us here as 5:50 approaches on the clock here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Nightfall coming and the snow continuing to fall. And now I realize that we're going to get 6 to 8, maybe. As a texter said, 14 inches. I'm hoping that's not the case. But we're going to get a large big accumulation of snow here in Cedar Rapids and areas to the south and areas to the north. So be careful out on the roads tonight, tomorrow morning, and as thank you to all the I'm gonna do what Todd does, and that's suck up to the snowplow man, as it was called. You remember that show Snow, or that movie Snow Day?
The snowplow man
was made out to be the villain, but the snowplow crews are the real MVP. To quote Kevin Durant, you've never seen Snow Day?
No.
Okay.
I actually feel like you saying that.
No, I'm sure nobody out there has. So that was another obvious sign that I live under a rock. 5:51, we're going to step aside. We'll come back. We'll have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update on the way after this.
In the 1940s, everything had an air of romance. Women wore red lips and high heels just to go to market. Gentlemen sported handsome full-length wool coats and stylish hats. And the movies featured sweet and wonderful stories of love. Times and fashions have changed, but that sense of romance remains at Hertine & Stocker Jewelers. Since 1944, the Dickens family has been offering gifts of love on Valentine's Day, like a delicate bracelet, a set of perfectly cut diamond earrings, or a beautiful and elegant watch. At Hertine & Stocker, they understand that Valentine's Day is much more than a day for children to exchange heart-shaped candies. It's a day to be swept away by the magic of romance. Find the feeling. Stop and see what's in those famous windows at Hertine & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
A piece of cake. A Sunday morning. ABC. Those are easy. So is earning a power rate and ATM refunds with power checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of power checking say they recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with power checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Okay, everybody, I've called this brainstorm because senior management says we need big ideas. So, what have you got?
Well, Dave, how about we...
No.
Okay, we could try the...
Stupid.
What if we started charging employees to use the bathroom?
I love that idea. That's what I'm talking about.
Thanks, Dad.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Welcome back to Into Studio A. This is hour number two, winding down. Thank you to Colin Ward-Henninger of CBS Sports, the NBA writer and editor there at CBS Sports, for joining us to break down all things as far as the NBA trade deadline, which has come and gone today, are concerned. And it was a wild day. And apparently, as he said, the buyout season, which is very similar, actually it's exactly the same thing if you want to use MLB terms, to the waiver claim period, where after the trade deadline, there's the waiver period. Exactly the same thing. It's just called something different in the NBA. It would be the buyout period. And plenty more action to come on that front. But the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have been the class of the Eastern Conference, were really struggling, despite a very good win last night over the Minnesota Timberwolves and a game in which LeBron James completely took over. They completely reshaped their roster today and are full of a lot of younger and more athletic pieces. But the question is, are they still the favorite in the Eastern Conference? And that is yet to be determined. What is not yet to be determined, it is an absolute staple. Twice an hour is a Midwest One Bank Big Board update, and we're going to get you one of those right now with Kyle Mann, Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa junior outfielder Robert Nystrom was pegged again as the Big Ten's preseason player of the year, this time getting the nod from Baseball America. He was also named the second best prospect in the conference for next year's MLB draft. Pitcher Brady Shanuel was ranked 7th, and Jack Dreyer was listed as the 5th best freshman. Iowa State couldn't pull off a second upset of 7th-ranked Texas Tech last night, falling on the road 76-58. Cameron Lard was 10 of 11 from the floor and had a game-high 22 points in just 20 minutes of action, but the Cyclones clearly felt the absence of starting point guard Nick Weiler-Babb, racking up 15 turnovers with only 8 assists. The UNI men had a pretty good win last night over Bradley and Cedar Falls, 74-65. A team that can struggle to score at times, they got a crucial contribution from Wyatt Lowhouse with 25 off the bench, coming mostly on his 6 of 9 shooting from beyond the arc. That moves the Panthers out of a last-place tie with Valparaiso. The Iowa women will be hosting Penn State tonight as they try to get back near the top of the Big Ten standings. You can try to get out there and see Wooden Award candidate Megan Gustafson as they tip off at 7 o'clock. You might have heard about the craziness that was today's NBA trade deadline, but one deal you might not have noticed as much was a three-teamer that sent Doug McDermott to Dallas. He gets to reunite with former Ames High School teammate Harrison Barnes. You're hearing us right now on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, or 107.5 FM, the North Gym, because we've got West Branch at Clear Creek Amana for a girl-boy doubleheader. The boys should be getting started shortly after our show finishes, and you can hear it on 106.3 FM, the South Gym.
Hours number one and two. Hour number one is already up on the website, kgymradio.com. Hour number two is going to be available in just about 5 minutes after we head to a top-of-the-hour Sports Center update and then come back with hour number three. But while you're at kgymradio.com, a couple of things. First of all, you can sign up to join our bus trip. $150 per person. As we mentioned, people under the age of 18 need adult supervision, but it'll be on May the 12th, and I'm excited about this. I'm not a Cubs or a White Sox fan, but both of those two teams are going to be squaring off at Wrigley Field. Myself, Todd, Kyle, other KGYM and KZIA employees are going to be on the bus trip, and for $150, you can join the bus trip. I looked up tickets in our section that day. The cheapest one is $180, and that doesn't include a swag bag and the parking and transportation to and from. You can also vote in our poll question, which asks you, what is your favorite Winter Olympic sport? Is it curling, figure skating, hockey, bobsled / luge, skiing, speed skating, or snowboarding? You have about an hour left to vote in that poll question. We're going to head to hour number three. Thomas Bendit of SB Nation joins us next.